Good morning. Well, is Maggie Huber here this morning? She go back home this weekend? Okay. We had another baptism this past week, so you guys give it up for Maggie. We'll present her to the congregation next week. That's the, I think, fourth baptism we've had in the last couple of weeks, fourth person giving their life to the Lord. And so I'm excited about that. That's really cool. A couple of announcements before we get into the lesson this morning. Where's Holly Knapp? Is she in here? Holly, raise your hand, wave it high. She's the one collecting Easter egg candy for our Easter egg hunt. If you guys haven't heard, Easter Sunday, we are not going to be here at the Doubletree. We're going to be over at Woodland Park here in Collinsville. We've reserved the pavilions over there, and we're going to be doing an outdoor Easter in the Park event. There's a little flyer inside your bulletin that says, get your tail to church. So we're going to print a bunch of these out, and you can pass them out to your friends. We're going to be going a couple of days ahead of time and hitting up the neighborhoods around the park. So we'll be talking about getting volunteers for that as well, knocking on doors and passing out flyers and inviting people to church. Easter's a great time to invite people. There's a lot of folks who will only go to church on Easter or Christmas. That's just sort of their tradition. But guys, it gives us an opportunity, because there are going to be people that want to come visit that traditionally may not. And so they're going to be exposed to hearing some things that could change their life if their hearts are open. And, you know, we pray here at the Crossings that God will connect us to people whose hearts are open to the gospel. And God has been answering that prayer and continues to answer that prayer for us. And so we're praying right now, even as we approach Easter, that God will be working behind the scenes, in circumstances, in people's lives, so that whenever they encounter us, we're going to be able to fill a hole that is in a person's heart with what they need, which is the love of God and the love of God's people. And so I'm excited about that. Please join us in praying for that. And if you haven't turned in your Easter egg candy yet, if you're a member of the church, speak with your cell leader to find out exactly how much that is. That stuff is, when is it due?
April 7th.
So next week, next Sunday? Okay. Yeah, so if you haven't bought your Easter egg candy, we do need that. So again, talk with your cell leader about that. We also have celebration tonight, so we're not going to have cell groups today. Cell groups are our small groups here at the Crossings. We'll probably be talking more about that as we go, but we're not going to have those meet today. Instead, everybody at 5 o'clock needs to meet over at Knights of Columbus. The Knights of Columbus Hall right up the street here. And we're going to have dinner together, and we're going to be talking about the future of our church and some things we need to do to make sure our church is healthy, and just some things we need to change, and also some things we need to continue in. And so if you're a member, we need you there tonight. That's something that it really needs to be required for everybody. And if you're a guest, you're welcome to come too. So whoever would like to come is welcome, but members especially need to be there tonight. We have our 101 class coming up next Saturday. We're going to be talking more about that this evening. But if you have not taken 101 in a few years, if you're a member, that's something that we need to do again. And so if you would like to learn more about what the Crossings Church offers, or if you're new and you've never placed membership but you're interested in becoming a member of the Crossings Church, in that class we go over all of the things that this church offers, kind of our philosophy behind what we do. We also have requirements for membership just that are the same across the board. And so if that's something you'd be interested in, we'll be talking about that. And again, we'll be talking more about that tonight as well. And lastly, men's retreat is coming up. You can get all the information on here. We've also got the schedules printed. If you're a man, you need to be at this thing. If you're a young man, you need to be at this thing. So if you guys would like more information, talk to one of our members, or you can go to the website here, crossingscollinsville.com/men. Okay. That was a lot. Am I missing something? Oh. Okay, just making sure. I mentioned we had another person give their life to Christ at baptism this past week. I love baptisms. You know, the Bible teaches whenever a person commits to follow Jesus for the rest of their life, the angels are literally rejoicing in heaven with us down here whenever that happens, because every time somebody makes that commitment, the face of eternity is changing. There's going to be another person that's going to be with God in eternity that wouldn't otherwise had they not made that decision to follow Jesus. And so it's a big deal, but baptism, it's not about the water. Anytime a person is baptized, there's this ceremony that we go through. You know, the Bible teaches that just like Jesus died and was buried in a tomb and then rose again after 3 days, whenever we decide we're going to be baptized, we say, I'm going to die to myself, and I'm going to be buried in this water, and then I'm going to raise back up out of that water to walk this new life, just like Jesus rose from the dead. We're reenacting the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. But guys, it's not about the ceremony. You want to know what baptism is all about? Baptism is all about your heart. Jesus wants to do a work in your heart. He gives us things like baptism to do, but it's not about the water, guys. It's about this pledge or this commitment of a good conscience that we're making to follow Jesus. He wants to do a work in our heart. Guys, we can also pray. As Christians, we can pray. We can literally talk to God, and He literally hears us. But guys, you know, Jesus makes it clear, it's not just about the words you say. It's not about using a whole lot of words. Like, the more words you use, God's going to listen to you if your prayers are long. It's about the heart. It's about making this connection to God. Same with worship, guys. Whenever we come together to sing, we come together and we worship together, but it's not just about the act of singing. It's not just about hearing your voice. Through worship, through singing, God wants you to internalize the words that you're saying, because it's about your heart. It's about your inner self. It's about what you think going through life day to day about God. If I will just remember these worship songs that I'm repeating over and over, I'm going to keep God in this proper place, and it's going to make my life better. But it's about the internals. Anytime God gives us an external thing to do, it's always about the internal and what it's doing in your heart. That's where God wants to bless you most. If we can get our heart right, if we can get our mind right, if we can think in a way that honors God and not be subject to feelings and emotions, we're going to have the best life we can have. And so God gives us these devices to work on our heart, and we're in a series on fasting. Guys, what do you think fasting is all about? Is it just about being hungry, making yourself hungry? You know, when you fast, you give up food for a while. Some of you, this may be a new concept. Like, I've never done that on purpose. I've done it on accident, right? You give up food for a while. You give up something you need to focus on something you need more, which is a relationship with God. But the point of fasting isn't just to make yourself hungry. It's to focus on who you should ultimately find your satisfaction in, which is God. It's about intimacy with God. It's about your heart. What if we fast and we miss the point of that? This morning, we're going to look at a story from Scripture about a group of people who were fasting, but they were missing the point. We're new to this, honestly, here at the Crossings. One of, you know, our theme this year is raised up. You might notice on the bulletins, in all of our churches, which we're a church plant here in Collinsville. We're about a year and a half, 2 years old now. We have another church plant in the city. We have another church plant in Wentzville. We have another church plant we're going to send out in Columbia. We are a church that plants churches, because church plants typically reach more people than churches that are been around a long time. And so our strategy for reaching people, because we believe God is good and He wants to connect with people, is to plant churches. But as we're, you know, you might notice if you come to one of our services, we have a lot of new Christians, a lot of people a lot of times who've never had a relationship with God, or they didn't grow up going to church, or they never really took hold of their faith. And so there's a lot of new believers. When you have a large community of largely new believers, there's a problem a lot of times with immaturity. There's a problem with a lack of development. There's a problem with a need for us to raise up. That's why we're focusing this year on this theme. But one of the things that we are focusing heavily on is prayer and fasting, because every single mature person we see in the Scriptures was a person of prayer and a person who regularly fasted. And to be honest, this has been a weakness for us. So we're kind of new to this fasting thing in our community. So we're in this series on it, and we're going to be talking about it today and then next week, and then we're going to jump into Easter, and we'll do something different after that. But like I said, we're going to look at a story this morning of some people who were doing this, and they were blowing it. I don't want to discourage us, but I have a feeling there's some things we really need to learn from this because we're new to this fasting thing, largely. I know I am. And so let me pray for us, and then we're going to jump into it. By the way, can somebody holler at them about the temperature? Are you guys hot?
No.
Okay. No. Can somebody talk with them about fixing that? It's burning up in here. If you turn it all the way down, it will freeze the system, by the way. So don't do that. All right, let's pray. God, I want to thank you for bringing us together. As we open the scriptures, I want to ask that you open our hearts. As we look at the truth from your word, I pray that we apply that truth to our life. Father, you are good. You love us. You want the best for us. You give us these scriptures, God, not just to correct us in terms of telling us we're wrong, but you want to show us the way to make our wrong right in our life. And so I pray we focus on application to our personal lives as we open this morning, God. Otherwise, it's kind of pointless. So I pray we apply your word, Lord. Amen. Amen. All right. So, like I said, these people blew it in Isaiah 58. The first half, we're going to look at how to anger God during a fast. And then the second half of this lesson, how to honor God during a fast. You've got some notes in your bulletin if you want to pull them out. They'll make the lesson pretty easy to follow along with. But pull these out, and that first blank on there, how to anger God during a fast. So don't do this. But this is God speaking through the prophet Isaiah. He's instructing him what to say to these people. Look at what it says. Shout it aloud. Do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near to them. Why have we fasted, they say? And have you not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please. You exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fist. You can't fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I've chosen, only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast? A day acceptable to the Lord. All right, so these people are fasting and these people are praying, but God's like, that doesn't honor me. I'm not happy with this. Fasting is meant to put on display a heart that's characterized by submission and trust and humility before God. If our hearts aren't right, guys, then our fasting is not going to matter. Our prayer isn't going to matter. Our religious actions aren't going to matter. That's not what God is looking for. And so there are several things we can point out here. First, if I want to anger God during my fast, fasting and remaining selfish does not please God. Fasting and remaining selfish does not please God. So if fasting is just this religious mask that we put on for selfish interest, you know, if our fast is just about getting what we want, it's not really a fast that honors God. And what these people were doing, it says that they were exploiting their workers. So these may have been wealthy landowners back then that had servants. So they're taking the day off, but then they're making their servants work twice as hard because they're not going to be out there alongside them. Who are they thinking about? Well, they're just thinking about themselves. Who are they fasting for? Well, they're just thinking, you know, probably for whatever they need. It doesn't explicitly say, but if they're greedy people, what do you think their prayers sounded like? Were they concerned with the well-being of others? Probably not. They were selfish people. And I mentioned before baptism, guys, when you make a decision to be baptized, what are you saying? You're saying, I'm going to die to myself. I'm dead. I no longer am alive. I'm going to let Jesus take my life over. I'm going to let him live through me. I'm going to make my desires his desires, or his desires my desires. I'm going to let the world be a better place because Jesus is in it when I'm in it, not me. Right? That's what you're saying whenever you're baptized. Now, I grew up going to church, guys. I never made that connection. I never really made the connection between being a Christian and dying to self. But fundamentally, when you decide to follow Jesus, you are dying to yourself. You are dying to your old way of life. It's not about you. I became a Christian when I was in my early 20s, had a campus minister. You guys probably get tired of me talking about him, named Lim Stringfellow. He was probably my first kind of spiritual mentor. And that was something that guy had to remind me of because I was a selfish young kid in my 20s. And I remember we used to have events and stuff for our campus ministry where we would go out to USF in Tampa and we would invite people. And, you know, sometimes we'd have a movie night. Sometimes we'd have a game night or we'd do this or that. Well, sometimes the activities we'd plan didn't sound like fun to me. So guess what I would say? I don't want to go to that. I don't want to watch that movie. I like this movie. I don't want to play that game. I like this game. I don't want to come if we're playing that game. And guess what Lynn had to do? He had to remind me, it's not about you, stupid. We're doing this event to make something fun so you can invite your friends so that we can share our faith with them and have a Bible study with them and lead them to Jesus. Quit making it about you. You're missing the whole point. You're being selfish. Remember when you were baptized, what that was all about? You were supposed to lay that down. It was supposed to be about others. It was supposed to be about Jesus. It's not supposed to be about you. You're dead. Why are you walking around like a zombie? Zombies are gross. He would say that. And it's true, guys. It's fundamental. One of the things we miss, though, sometimes are fundamentals. And did you know if you miss the fundamentals, you're gonna wreck your faith? You're not going to have a faith that honors God. These people were doing advanced things. You know, when we think about fasting, you guys think about somebody that's super spiritual, and man, they fast. Wow. Like, that's weird whenever you're on the outside of that. But, you know, we kind of consider that like advanced behavior, advanced disciples. These guys were doing the advanced thing in fasting, but they were missing the fundamental and not being selfish. And so because their hearts weren't right, their fast wasn't honoring God. It says in James 3, where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. It says right before this, it's not on your notes, but those who justify selfishness, the Bible says that's demonic. The Bible says that is anti-Christ. If you want to make God upset, you just be a selfish person. If you don't die to self in your baptism, guys, you're not going to please God, and you're going to be in trouble with God. Fasting that honors God is self-denial for the sake of others. Fasting that angers God is self-denial for the sake of myself. Are my prayers... Is my fast, is it just about me? Is it just about my selfish interest? Because when we make God the focus of our satisfaction, our fasting is effective. But when we make anything else the focus of our satisfaction, we run the risk of angering God, and we will anger God. Fasting is designed by God to bring you closer to God. You're giving up something you need to focus on what you need most, which is a healthy and stable and intimate relationship with God. So as you're fasting, focus on Him and not just the things you want, right? Fasting is not magic where magic, like you say these magic words, you say just the right words in just the right order, then you get what you want. If we're not careful, you can treat fasting like that, where I'm going through the motions, you know, I'm pushing the buttons on the vending machine, now let it give me what I want, I'm doing the things. That's not what it's about. It's about drawing near to God in a relationship. Secondly, if I want to anger God during my fast, fasting and harboring contempt keeps God from hearing me. Fasting and harboring contempt keeps God from hearing me. So he says here, you're fasting ends in quarreling and strife. You can't fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard. It even talks about them getting in fights and hitting each other with fists. Now let me ask you an honest question. When you don't eat, do you get mad about it? Yeah, what do we call that?
Angry.
When you're hungry, hungry plus angry equals hangry, right? Now, when you're fasting, you're giving up food on purpose. Who in here gets a little bit irritable when you're fasting? Some of you are liars. I remember the first time I fasted, and I shouldn't be telling this story, but I'm going to. The first time I fasted was after Ariel and I had gotten married, and we moved up to Arkansas, and I was enrolled in Bible college, and I can't even remember. She had done it several times. She's a lot more spiritual than I am. But I decided I was going to try to fast. And, you know, they say when you fast, you start off slow. You go maybe like half a day if you've never done it before, then maybe a whole day, then maybe a day and a half. You don't just jump in with both feet and do these really long fasts, which some people will fast like 7 days. Some people will fast 21 days, like Shadonke, that guy I mentioned a couple weeks ago. He does a 21-day fast every year at the beginning of the year to start his year off. Well, I decided the first time I was going to fast, as I think I was 24, 25, something like that, I was going to do it for 3 days. And me and Ariel were going to do it together. And so I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know the point of fasting. I didn't know anything about fasting other than I'd read about it in the Bible, and that was about it. I knew you give up food and you spend time praying. You know, when you get hungry or whatever, maybe you pray. And so I give up food, and I go 24 hours. And that second day, guess what? Did I start to get a little bit irritable? I did. I started to get a little bit irritable that second day. And Ariel reminded me that fasting is not supposed to make you that way. It's supposed to make you the opposite way. And here she was serving and like making food for people and smelling it, you know, and I'm just over in the corner like mad that I'm fasting. And I remember we went to the store and I was mad and I was driving and I was tense. We pulled up to the store and I was sitting there and I was going to get out of the store and go in. I was mad because I was hungry. And I pooped my pants. You've never heard that from the pulpit before. But I literally pooped my pants in the car because I had been doing nothing but drinking water for the last 24 hours. And so then I was like, I looked at Ariel and I said, I pooped my pants. Let's go home. And so I went home. And then I went and ate some food because I was done with fasting. I gave up. The fasting won. But I was a big baby. I was a big baby. I did not have the right spirit and the right attitude. I could just see God laughing in heaven about that. Like, look at that. He did it wrong. I wasn't doing it right. The point of it, guys, is whenever we fast, we're putting ourselves into a state of weakness where you are naturally, when you're hangry or when you're aggravated, you are naturally going to be more irritable. You are naturally going to be more likely to get into an argument. You are naturally going to be more likely to be short with somebody or to be crabby. But you know what you're supposed to do when you fast? You're supposed to show your feelings that they aren't in control of you. Now, what a big, huge lesson we need to learn. Guys, emotions are not a bad thing. Did you know God has emotions? Did you know God gets aggravated? God gets angry? But can you think of a single time in the Bible where God was subject to his emotions? Can you think of a single time? Now, there are times where he let his wrath go, but guys, it was always controlled. He was always in complete control. It was always tempered. And any time that happened, it was after he had given people time after time after time, generations often to repent before he really got them. But guys, how often do we let ourselves be subject to our feelings? How often do we let our emotions sit in the driver's seat of our life, and then whenever we're confronted about it, we act like we're a victim? I was created in the image of God. You were created in the image of God. Guess who's in control of how you act regardless of how you feel? You are. You have no excuse if you are feeling bad to act like a baby or to act crabby or to be ungodly to another person. If you did, then it wouldn't be called a sin. But it is a sin. And guys, we put ourselves into a state where we're going to be crabby so we can mature to the point where we learn my feelings are not in control of me. I'm in control of my feelings. I don't feel like doing this, but it's the right thing, so I'm going to do it anyway. That's what a mature person does. What a child does is they throw a temper tantrum and go be a big baby. That's why we call it being a big baby. We don't call it being a mature adult. Fasting will help you grow up. Many of us in this room need to grow up. It says in Matthew 5, starting in verse 21, speaking of treating people right. By the way, if we're fasting and treating the people around us wrong, if we're treating people in an ungodly way, that is the number one indicator that your heart isn't right. Look at what it says in Matthew 5 about being angry with somebody. These are the words of Jesus. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. That's the sixth of the Ten Commandments, okay? So he's quoting this to a group of people who knew these commandments very well. Here's what he adds to that. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raca, is answerable to the court, and anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Now that word raka, that was a Hebrew term for contempt. That was sort of a cuss word, like I'm cursing you if I say this. In other words, I don't want a relationship with you. You are dead to me. I want nothing to do with you. Get away from me. You're dead to me. You're done. Get out. That's rock. That's that contempt that's coming out for other people. Guys, if we're spewing that kind of contempt on other people, our heart is not right before God. And I know who's in this room. I know I'm speaking to a group of people, many of whom have been deeply wounded by other people. I grew up being sexually abused. I grew up being molested. When I was a little kid, it messed me up bad. And it's easy to hate people who have deeply wounded us. It's easy to hate an abuser, but what God teaches us is we are to lay that contempt down. We're to lay that hatred down. God's going to work it all out. We need to trust Him to do so. My job is to get my heart right. Whenever I put myself into a state of weakness, it's even harder to get my heart right, but it's like a workout for my heart. It's like a workout for my inner self. If I can learn to treat people right when I'm hangry, how am I going to treat people right in everyday life when I'm not? That's something fasting will do for us. But we got to be intentional, guys. Whenever we start getting crabby when we're fasting, what's the point of fasting? Guys, it's not just about the prayer. It's about getting your heart right. It's about you growing up. Your feelings are not in control, okay? Number three. If I want to anger God during my fast, fasting is merely a ritual, is not a fast God accepts. Fasting as merely a ritual is not a fast God accepts. He says, is it only for bowing one's head? Is that what you call a fast? In other words, is it just about the motion and looking like you're praying and going through the physical act of getting down on your knees or bowing your head or folding your hands and then closing your eyes and saying, is that what it's about, just the ritual? Ritual doesn't please God. Guys, coming to church on Sundays doesn't please God. Going to Bible class doesn't please God by itself. Studying your Bible, reading the scriptures, doesn't do anything for your relationship with God by itself. What's it about, guys? It's about the heart. Are you coming to an assembly on Sunday and taking what you're learning and applying it to your life? Or are you just coming here like it's a social club? Are you coming and getting into the scriptures because you want to apply the scriptures to your life, because you want a relationship with God, you want to draw nearer to Him, you want to get to know Him, you want to apply what He's telling to your life so that you can have a better life? Or is it just about checking off my to-do list? Because it doesn't honor God if it's just about checking it off a to-do list. Same with fasting, guys. Jesus says, this isn't on your notes, or excuse me, Isaiah says in Isaiah 29:13, if you want to make a note of it. The Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Because what it's about? It's about the heart. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules that they've been taught. They were just going through the motions, right? We're fasting for our church every first week. A lot of people are doing it on Mondays. Some are doing it on different days. But the whole church is fasting together. Our leaders are fasting every first week and every third week together. And the point of doing that together is we want to be approaching God together, praying with God together. There's all kinds of examples of this in the scriptures where communities of faith would call, they would call a fast and they would pray together. We're doing that the rest of the year and probably going to keep on doing that and just make this a regular part of our life and sort of the rhythm of our faith. But guys, if we're not careful, this can just become a routine. That's why we're having this sermon series on fasting, because honestly, we're a bunch of newbies. When it comes to this, for the most part, we haven't practiced this our whole lives like they have in some other places. And so we're learning. But this is one of the things we need to learn is, guys, it is never about the fasting. It is never simply about us getting what we want. It is all about our getting our heart right before God, our growing in our relationship with God, our learning to be mature despite adversity, and our living a life that honors God even when we don't feel like it. It's about our heart. It's about growing up. Okay? If we're just going through the motions and checking it off our to-do list, yeah, I fasted with everybody this week, that's not right. So let's not do that, okay? Now, let's look at how to honor God during a fast. In Isaiah 58:6-10, is not this the kind of fast I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter, when you see the naked to clothe them, not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and He will say, Here am I. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like noonday. Okay, first of all, if I want to honor God with my fast, number one, remember this, I fast to become God's tool for freedom. I fast to become God's tool for freedom. It says to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free. The yoke, if you don't know, it's like a collar that you put around, in their case, a slave, to tie chains to it, to chain them up to something. So he's saying he's going to break that. We're going to take that off. And a true God-honoring fast is going to lift the burden of bondage over people, not increase it. The people in this story, like I mentioned earlier, were exploiting workers. They maybe were a little wealthier. They had some servants. They were fasting, but then they were making their servants work double hard. That is evidence that their heart wasn't right, because if they were truly honoring God with their fast, they would be thinking about other people, not just themselves. They would be lifting that burden, not increasing it. And this applies to us, guys, because if we're fasting, if we're getting our heart right with God, if we're drawing nearer to God, are we going to think less of the people around us who are in bondage to something, or are we going to think more of the people around us who are in bondage to something? Are we going to think more about us, or are we going to think more about others? Because as we're drawing near to the Lord, guys, as we're getting our hearts right with the Lord, God is going to help us focus on those around us and less on self. Who do you know around you that's in bondage to something? Who do you know around you that's struggling with depression, that's struggling with addiction, that's struggling with rejection, that's struggling with just a lack of love or positive people or loving people in their life, who needs community? Who around you do you know that's like that, that needs help? Are they on your mind and on your heart when you're fasting? Because that's a fast that honors God. God is a God of freedom. And if there's anything that's keeping us in bondage, or anything that's keeping the people around us in bondage, selfish, apathy, pride, whatever it might be, God wants to lift that bondage, guys. And that's where our heart should be. It says in 1 Peter 2:16, live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Guys, just ask, what has God freed me from? What has God freed me from? I know for me, when I was younger, I was addicted. When I was about 14, 15, I started using drugs. I did not have good relationships. And my drug use increased to the point where it nearly killed me as a young man. And I remember sitting on a couch, seriously contemplating killing myself, just because I had nothing in life to look forward to. I had nothing, no hope. I didn't really know if there was a God. And I didn't feel like I was worth anything. And it wasn't until God put some people in my life that saw the world differently than I did, because they had a relationship with God and they had this connection, they were able to share some things with me that I was desperately in need of and desperately missing. And so through those relationships and through God working through people, I was able to overcome addiction with God's help. I was able to change my perspective on the world. I was able to plug into a community. I was able to find a purpose much greater than I could have ever imagined, and a life much greater than I ever could have imagined. I've got a wife now and kids. I get to work my dream job coming out here, hanging out with you guys. Life is good. That's not to say there aren't problems along the way. There always are. But guys, my life a few years ago was in a completely different place. God freed me from that. And so now, do I take that freedom that God has given me? Would it be right for me just to go and sit at home and not worry about anybody else? No. Guys, the truth is, there are people all around us. There are people in this room who are where I was. There are people in this room who are still in bondage. There are people in this room who are longing for freedom. And more than that, there are people outside of this room who are longing for freedom, who are longing for hope and a future. And guys, the heart of God is that He would do a work in us so that He can then use us to do a work in others. And when we submit to that and we let God work, guys, it's a good life. And then we'll see other people coming in and they're adopting this, they're being freed, and then they're going out and freeing up. That's how God works. We need to align our hearts with that. And as we fast, guys, if you are a person who's not concerned with others, one of the things that you need to ask God to help you do is to have a heart change. And one of the things that will help is, guys, if you've been delivered, if you've been freed, meditate on that. Because when you see how much God has given you, it becomes a lot easier to be willing to give to others. Second, if I want to honor God during my fast, I must remember I fast to become God's instrument of mercy. I fast to become God's instrument of mercy. Is this fast not to share your food with the hungry? Provide the poor wanderer with shelter when you see the naked to clothe them? He's saying, man, you guys are fasting. You're not even thinking about the poor. You're not even thinking about the people around you in need. You making yourself hungry on purpose, but then you get to break your fast. There are people who are hungry, not by their own will, who aren't going to get to do that because they don't have anything to eat. And usually the only time we hear about fasting is when we have a spiritual need or someone very close to us has a specific need. How often do we fast to meet the spiritual and physical needs of the people around us? How often are we thinking about those around us that don't have, those that need help? And like I said before a couple of times, there are some indications that the people being addressed here were maybe a little more wealthy. Maybe they had enough. They had, guys, if we're living in this country, we are some of the most wealthy people in the world. Even if you're poor by the standards in the United States, even if you're below the poverty line, you are richer than like 80 or 90% of the world's population. Even those of us that don't have enough money for food, we have resources to go get food. We have food pantries. We can apply for food stamps. There's things around us where we can go get a free meal if we need to. They don't have that in other places. And the point of fasting, guys, isn't just to make ourselves hungry. Isaiah points out that God would rather us develop hearts that prompt us to feed the hungry than to just make ourselves hungry. It says in Proverbs 14:31, whoever oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honors God. We can be so consumed with ourselves that we don't think about those in need around us. And it shouldn't be that way, guys. It just shouldn't be that way. Thirdly, if I want to honor God during my fast, I must remember, I fast to replace my contempt with love. I fast to replace my contempt with love. He says, do away with the pointing finger and malicious talk. That pointing finger in the context of this verse was sort of a gesture of contempt, like, get away from here. I don't want anything to do with you. Get out of here. It was snotty, angry, and rude. Well, God loves people. As we were talking about before, if we're treating people bad around us because we're fasting, we're doing it wrong. The latter part of that Matthew verse that we read earlier, verse 23, Matthew 5:23, this is what Jesus says the person who has said, Raca, and you fool, should do. Because this person was coming before God to worship. And Jesus says, before you come to worship me, here's what you need to do first to get your heart right. Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. This is saying if you have so much hatred in your heart for another person, or if you've done something to wrong another person where they are feeling this way toward you and you haven't worked it out, before you come before me in prayer and fasting or to kneel at this altar to worship or whatever form it might take, go work it out with that person that you've wronged before you come to me, because your heart needs to be right. You need to be a peacemaker. You need to be a person who can reconcile with this relationship. And reconcile, guys, just means made right, means made harmonious again. It's what Jesus does for us whenever he dies on the cross and our sins are forgiven. He reconciles us to God. And so we serve a God who's in the reconciliation business, and if we've wronged another person and haven't worked it out, guess what we're called to do? Don't come before God and act like everything's okay when you're holding this in your heart toward another person. You need to get your heart right. By the way, holding grudges is a lot of work. Man, life is so much lighter when you just let that stuff go. Just get it out. It's hard work. Let it go. Lastly, if I want to honor God during my fast, I must remember I fast to become more like Jesus. I fast to become more like Jesus. It says, and if you give yourself to the hungry and satisfy the desire, literally there, the soul of the afflicted. This isn't on your notes, but here's how that ends. Then your light will rise in the darkness and your gloom will become like midday. Guys, the overarching theme, the overarching point of fasting is to change our character to make us more like Jesus Christ. It says in Philippians 2, 5 through 8, have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, he didn't regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Guys, the gospel of Jesus Christ is that God created the world. The world is so messed up. The world is broken. Sin came into the world, messed everything up. Messed up our relationship with God, messed up our relationship with one another, and messed up our relationship even with the created world. That's why we see natural disasters, floods, earthquakes, tornadoes, all that stuff. And then God, through history, if you read the Bible, worked through history to slowly, over time, reveal himself and his plan to human beings. He began working through people, which he always does, works through people, calling people to be leaders, to share his word, for people to follow him, to live lives that honor him. And humanity just kept messing it up and messing it up and messing it up. He even gave us a sacrificial system in the Old Testament to have our sins forgiven once a year. But then every year, you know, they'd go into the temple and they would do this ceremony and their sins, Yom Kippur. Anybody heard Yom Kippur? Day of Atonement, that's still a big-time Jewish holiday. The point of Yom Kippur is to have your sins forgiven for that year. You go through this ceremony. But then you got to do it again the next year and the next year. It wasn't ultimate. Guys, then God said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to make myself a human being. And I'm going to make myself a little baby, and I'm going to come into the world, and then I'm going to show everybody how to live. And not only that, I'm going to live a perfect life. I'm going to die on a cross. And all of that punishment that these people deserve for their sin that separates them from me, I'm going to take on myself. I'm going to take it on myself, and I'm going to allow them to have fellowship with me through my sacrifice. And so Jesus lives a perfect life. Jesus dies on a cross. He takes all of our sin onto himself and then allows us the forgiveness and the life that was available to him. He gives to us if we decide to follow him. By the way, he rose again after 3 days. He didn't stay dead. And then he hung out with his followers for about 40 days, and then he went into heaven. He was seated at the right hand of God. He's now the king of everything. He is the king of all. He is all authority, all power is his. And he's given us a job between now, because guess what? He's going to come back someday. And when he comes back, we're all going to stand before him and have to give an account for our lives. And he's going to make everything right. All of this evil in this world, he's going to get rid of. All of the people who never did want the life that Jesus offered, they're going to be separated from him. And everybody that bends a knee and follows him as king and lets him rule, guys, whenever we let Jesus rule, the world is literally a better place because of the way we're living. Starts now, but guys, it's ultimately going to conclude whenever he comes back. And so the whole point of life, this life is kind of like a test. We're born into it, and then we get to decide whether we're going to follow Jesus or not. There are two kinds of people in the world, those who follow Jesus and everybody else. And if we choose to follow Jesus, guys, we will have the best life possible But not only now, guys, we will have an eternity to look forward to with him. The whole point of life is for us to learn to be more like Jesus. Fasting and any other discipline we engage in is ultimately about us becoming more like Jesus. We are so weak as human beings. Naturally, God says, put yourself into a state of greater weakness on purpose and then show me you can be strong. And the great thing is, guys, guess who comes alongside of us to help us? God himself empowers us to live the way we need to whenever we give our lives to him. And not only that, he gives us the church. He gives us one another. And so we can take advantage of our relationship with God and our relationship with one another to live the way we need to. When I fast the way God desires, this is the last blank, God works powerfully. When I fast the way God desires, God works powerfully. Here's how this passage ends. It's not on your notes, but this is verse 11 through 12 and then 14. This is how this ends. Once you repent, the Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in the sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations, and you will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. Then you will find your joy in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride in triumph on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So here's how this ends, guys. These people were blowing it. And then God sends them a prophet. You want to know why God sends people a prophet in the Bible? Is he sending them just to chew them out and walk away, take away their hope? No. The reason God sends prophets to people in the Bible is to get them to change. If we're messing up, God gives us a person to come and say, hey, you're messing up. But he doesn't just tell us you're messing up. He says, here's how to make it right. This passage started out, this chapter, with these people messing up. God tells them they're messing up, but then he tells them how to make it right. And he says, and when you make it right, here's how your story is going to end. It's going to end well. It's going to be a happily ever after. But you've got to change in the meantime. Guys, some of you here this morning are in need of a happily ever after in your life. Some of you here this morning are depressed. Some of you here this morning are struggling. Some of you here this morning, you have felt like there is no hope for any future for you. And I want to tell you, that's a lie from the pits of hell. Our God is a God of bright futures. Our God is a God of restoring the broken. Our God is a God of releasing the enslaved. Our God is a God who loves you and wants a relationship with you, and he wants you to help you have a better life. But he can only work so long as you let him. You know, we pray all the time that God will send us people whose hearts are ready, whose hearts are ready to make some changes, who are ready to connect with other people, who are ready to investigate faith, who are ready to do whatever they need to do, wherever they are, in order to connect with God. And so we always give you an opportunity at the end of every lesson to respond. There's a cardstock piece of paper in your bulletin if you want to pull that out. You can fill that out. It's got some space for your information on there. And guys, we're not gonna harass you if you fill this out. Members too, everybody pull this out. We're not going to spam you with phone calls. We're not going to spam you with emails. What we would like to do is get to know you, to be your friend, and to find out how we can help you. And so if there's anything that was said this morning that touched you or that you want to investigate further, indicate it on this card. You know, I mentioned that that I was sexually abused when I was a kid. And it messed me up pretty bad. There's a lot of people in this room who experience the same kind of abuse. And we have resources here and counseling that we offer if you've been hurt in that way. We can help you with that. If you come out of a broken family where you have been hurt badly because people that were supposed to care for you didn't, or if you're struggling with bitterness or hatred, guys, we have a class called Healing is a Choice that's really good. We're just finishing up our first one here. We're going to be offering another one in the future soon. Very, very helpful. It's just taking the Bible and applying it to that garbage in our life. It helps us get better. If that's something you need, we can help you with that. If you've been through a divorce, guys, if you're struggling with grief, if you're struggling with a belief in God, if you just need someone to answer some questions, I want you to know you're in a safe place. You're with people who can help you. And guys, the only reason we can help you is because we've got a connection to God. That doesn't make us any better. It doesn't make us any different than anybody else other than we've got a relationship with Him. And the really good news and the cool thing is He wants a relationship with you too. And so anything we have to offer, it's not because we're so good, guys, but God is. And you're in a safe place where you can express whatever you need and we'll try to help you. I mentioned again, guys, if you have been coming around for a while or if you want to know what it means to be a member at the Crossings Church, I want to invite all of you who are in that boat to check out our 101 class. That's going to be this next Saturday. We're hosting it at my house, and we're going to serve you a free lunch and have all that together. That's going to start at 9 a.m. this Saturday. And so if that's something that you haven't done yet, or if you've been a member for a while but haven't been to a 101 class in a while, you need to be there. And if you can't make it this Saturday, we will be offering it again in the next couple of months. So not the end of the world if you can't make it Saturday, but if you can, it would be a really good thing to come to. I'm going to go ahead and wrap up, guys, but I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing a song. During that song, you can fill that card out. And then we'll sing another song, and during that second song, we're going to pass baskets, and you can put your card in the basket. We really would like to connect with you. We really would like to see God do a work in your life. And so thank you guys for your attention this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you for being good and for loving us and for being patient with us. God, for giving us correction, because even when we mess up, it's not the end of the world. It's just an opportunity for us to listen. And so I pray as we think about your word this morning that we'll apply it to our lives, that we'll make changes where we need to make changes. And Father, I pray as we prepare to fill these cards out that we will be bold and courageous, even though it might be embarrassing or we might be scared, that we'll understand, God, that this is a group of people that can be trusted and that you're good and you really are at work here. And so I just pray that people can take your love, God, and accept it and that we can draw nearer to you. Father, thank you again for this church, for your son, and for all the good you give us. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.